Love those lyrics. When been thinking about that song, and I asked her this morning if she'd sing it. I'm glad I've got somebody I can trust this morning. I'm gonna be honest with you, church. You'll never go wrong trusting Jesus Christ. You'll never go wrong. You'll find people in your life, relationships, friendships. Some people's even seen it in their marriages. You think you can trust people. You can't always trust people. But I'm telling you, there is one you can trust, and His name is Jesus this morning. Amen. I highly encourage you to put your trust in Him with your problems, your worries, everything that's gone wrong, trust Him. And you know what? Keep trusting for everything that's going right. He is the answer for all things. John chapter number 15, if you got a Bible this morning. John in the 15th chapter, if you have a Bible. If you don't, you need one, you can raise your hand. We'll get one in your hand, or you can see us after church, and we'll get you a good old King James Bible. Thanks for that amen, Brother Scott. John chapter 15. Very familiar scripture. When you find your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet to honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able this morning. We're going to read just a few verses, and then we'll pray and we'll give you what the Lord's put in our heart this morning. John chapter number 15. Going to read some of Jesus' words this morning. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You look at that verse right there, that tells you when God's ready to make more of you, He'll make less of you first. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Notice there's a pattern there, that in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here it is. This is why that in me is so important. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here's our verse we're going to preach out of this morning. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We sure do love you this morning. We thank you for your presence being here. Thank you for the songs. God, I just thank you, Lord, for the church this morning, Lord. And we know the church was your idea because you put it together, Father. And we pray, God, that we're here to praise and to worship. Father, we're here, Lord, to just let go of some burdens this morning. God, help us to lay everything at your feet, Father, for you're worthy to be praised. God, we pray that you'd help in the preaching hour, Lord. Thank you for your word, the scriptures, Lord. Let them just sink deep into our hearts, Father. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Anoint us and touch us, God. Would you just breathe on us this morning? And we pray most of all, if there be one here that's lost, oh God, would you draw them in and let them be saved before it be forever too late. Lord, would you just give us a touch from on high. Thank you for Calvary's Hill and what took place, that our precious Savior died and paid our sin debt, Father, so that we have a home in heaven with Thee. Again, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Forgive us of all of our sins, and Father, thank you for all of our blessings. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do here this morning. In the precious name of Jesus, I do humbly pray. Amen. And amen. Jesus' words here, He's talking about this, and I want us to get really into verse number 7 here, where He talks about that abide. And I started looking at that word, and it talks about there, if ye abide in me. He's talking about a distinct promise of power and success in prayer is what He's talking about there. You have to have that, right? You've got to be in Jesus. That's what He's talking about. There's conditions to this verse, right? He's talking about ask what you will. These things will be given to you. He talks about there's conditions in prayer. There's challenges in prayer. But let me tell you something today. There is comfort in prayer this morning. That's where we find our comfort at. And He said that if you'd abide in me and my words in you. And I started doing a study on that about my words in you. And you know, that kind of tells us right there. It's when we keep His sayings fresh to guide us, our actions, our behaviors, and then let them influence our life and how we act, what we say, how we talk, what we do, who we're around. Let the power of God in our life influence our life every day. And that's what that abide there, He's talking about in that abide right there. He means knowing the Scriptures. Believing the Scriptures, right? If you've got to believe them, you got to know them. And once you know them, you got to believe them. And He's talking about to remember them when you abide, that dwelling, that permanent dwelling, is what He's saying, that union, that coming together, being joined together, is what He's talking about.
talking about there. He said, when we do that, not only will we know them, will we believe them, but we'll remember them to daily practice them.
That's what he wants inside of us. That's what he's saying in that abide in me.
But he's talking about prayer there, right? When we pray, it has to be in Jesus' name. He tells us that when we pray to be in Jesus' name. But I want to talk this morning, for just a few minutes, about giving God a reason to answer our prayers. What can we do? There's four reasons I want to leave with you this morning about giving God a reason to answer our prayers.
Reason number one, he said, if you abide in me, well, what you learn to abide in him, you learn what true praise is about. So reason number one to give God a reason to answer your prayers, right? That first reason is to praise him. And in Psalm 71, let me read you a verse here in Psalm 71, God's own heart. Psalm 71 and 14, but I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. Hope continually. He is our constant hope. He tells us about that praise thee more and more. Individually, this psalmist said, I'm going to praise you, for you are my hope. He says, I'm going to praise you. And then David talked about this. There's another psalm. He always talks about praising God. Every one of David's psalms that you'll see, it has something to do with some kind of praise, giving God honor, giving God glory. And it didn't matter about his sin. It didn't matter about the confidence that's in his head. It didn't matter about the numbers that's in his head. Whatever it was, David was always confident in God. He was confident in God, and that's why he praised God. He praised God because he knew God. He praised God because God had saved him. God had delivered him from things in his life. He knew that God would be his constant help every single day. God's not going to turn his back on us. The problem is we turn our back on God. God does not turn back on us. We need God every day, and David did that. There's other songs.
Amen.
He said it continually. A continuing. That's why we pray. We do it continually. Ain't doing as much good, Daddy. We just pray to God for everything good. Why don't we pray when everything's bad, right? And you say, preach, that's kind of hard to do. But the Bible talks about we should be thankful. You know what? Everything, all the bad times of our life, it can be a whole lot worse than that.
Right.
It's all about how we're looking. What's going on in your life? How do we look at these problems? Right? A lot of times we look and say, oh, I've got the worst problem. This is the worst. This is the worst that's ever happened. Nobody's ever had it by me. Oh, hey, we've got the same afflictions. We all know that's how we come to one another. We've been through these afflictions in life. We know how God has brought us through these afflictions in life. And you can help other people with their afflictions in life. We're going to pray again. Right, I'll stop praising individually. Let me give you a phrase when they did it collectively as a church. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Two verses. Right, this is when they come together. Verse 46 and 47 of Acts 2. And they continually daily, there it is right there. Right, this phrase is a continual. How do you continue to praise God, Daniel? You just have to stop thinking that where he brought you from, what he does for you. What he is doing for you. Every day, he's taking care of you. He's providing everything that you need. God has been so good to us, church. He's good to us every day. How do you not thank God for everything he's done for us? We should have thankful hearts every day for what God has done for us. Listen to what the church says. And that is continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, then eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God, there it is, and having favor with all people. Boy, isn't it good right there? Praising God. I say praising. What was they saying? Look at these churches' zeal that they had, right? They had a zeal to worship. They had a zeal for brotherly love. And this zeal that they had, church, it was contagious. Friends, how do you know it was contagious? Well, it's being read in verse right there. And the Lord added to the church daily such as he should be saved. Right? That's the church. Added to the church daily such as be saved. He didn't say that he's going to bring them into the church. And I tell you, the problem with a lot of people is they look
they had come together and they knew what church was all about.
What's it about? We started out verse 47, praising God. That's what church was all about. And I believe that's exactly why the Lord added to the church. Because they had come together and they wanted to praise God when they got here.
It wasn't about seeing who had what hat on or what was going on. We were seeing what shoe they fit in, where they parked at, what song they were going to sing, or if they were going to ask me to pray. That's not what church was all about. That's just about coming together and praising God and what He done for us.
That's what this church did. That's also the first time you ever read about you. These different churches in that country. Where the church started. The Lord put this together. What the group of men, what the Lord, what the community put this together? The Lord added to the church. God put this together. And I want God to put together what we do here. God wants us to witness. God wants us to send out invitations and all that's great. And you know what? We should do those things. And a lot of people say, well, that's a preacher's job to do all that. It's never one of our jobs.
Amen.
To tell people about Jesus. And I'm okay with that, but you know what God's told me my job is? My job is to preach the word. If He said I stand on truth and I preach the word, He'll build a church.
Yeah.
You know the problem is a lot of times you sell these churches, it's just a plan. They just come together and just well. It's because men are trying to build a church. And you better be careful when you're building a church. You better be very careful. I'm all for having signs up there. You know, you want to welcome people. You want to show people hospitality. You want to be nice to people. You want to be generous to people. You want to be a kind of people. You want to be a helpful people. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want everybody welcome in your church. I don't want them burnt. I don't want them snakes. I don't want them weeds. I don't want them wolf. I don't want them in our church. I don't want people to go bring division and drama in our church. Matter of fact, I'll take me to Lord when they start walking in the door. The best thing to do is really just walk away this way and put the dust around this door. That's what I'm saying. They might say, what's that all about? I think we'll kill you here at church. That's what we're here to ask. We're not here for a social
gathering.
We're not here to say you'll do this or say you'll do that. We're here to meet with God. That's what church is all about. And that's what I want to say. We're here to meet with God. And God knew that. And that's what that church was. How do you know? Because they had seen this apart. They had planned. They had some fellowship. No, no, I didn't want to have church. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what happens when a lot of people have church? They start getting nervous. Start getting scared when the Holy Spirit starts moving. God starts convicting. A lot of people just want to come in and want to hear me. They don't want no conviction behind it. Please don't preach on our sins. Just tell us something that gets us in the way and just make us feel good about ourselves. When you tell you something that makes you feel good about yourself, your actions are still correct. Thank you all that I'm saying. It doesn't mean you can all righteousness is still dragged for there. That's why we need God.
Amen.
We need God to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us whole again. It's not nothing you can do. You can be a good person, but let me tell you something. Hey, if you're out there today, you take the hell and you're full of evil people. You go yourself. I believe good people in hell today. I believe the greatest prayer being known to man is going on in hell today. I believe they are down there begging God for one more chance.
Amen.
It's too late. It's too late. That's why you have to make the most of your opportunities today. When God draws you, it's so important for you to come to Him. It's so important. And you might say, well, I have other opportunities. Well, I'm young. And that doesn't matter if you're 6 or if you're 26. You don't know when the Lord's going to call you back. You don't know days in this life is a vapor. It's a vapor. You're here and then you go. I know a lot of us make plans. You know, when you start getting in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, you talk about 401k investments. I wonder how much money when I retire. Right? There's nothing wrong with that plan. There's nothing wrong with having a plan in life. But you don't know if you're going to make it. I'm not here today to say, hey, you won't. I don't know how you'll be here. Everybody in this room is going to be 100-something-year-old. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know this. You're not promised tomorrow. And I'll also tell you this, somebody in this room today could go home and meet God today.
Amen.
It could be me. Nothing on faith. Don't shed no tears for me. I'm telling you, I'll be up there praying and rejoicing. I'll be up there just that walking. They walk the street of God, but I don't believe when you start getting in that joy, you start bringing joy. I don't believe you bring oxygen to death, I really bring joy.
Amen.
That's what I believe in. I believe it's going to be so awesome, and it's just so mind-blowing. I don't think I can walk on the streets of gold. I just hope my feet touch the ground. I think I'm going to be close to it.
That's how I like to go. And I'm ready to go when God calls my name. Now, I'm not saying that I'm one of these just like, oh, God, just going to take it now. I'm just so sick of times. Everything goes on. Not bad times do happen. But you know what? Don't get so down on yourself when bad times happen. God makes a lot of times when bad times happen. But he's trying to strengthen your faith. He's trying to build your character. Everybody has storms. We all have storms, brother Aaron. But you know, those that are saved, you've got somebody that comes.
Amen.
And that's Jesus, and that's why I pray for this Lord. They did it as individuals and they did it at the church. Reason number two to get God, I really mentioned prayers. By pleasing Him. By pleasing God. Psalms 37. We'll read two verses out of that. Psalms 37. Verse 4 and 5, to write them down. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight. Right? Pleasing God. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Praise God, He expects here to say, and He'll bring it to pass. He said, delight and commit. That was two words. I think that's right. I really looked at these words up. Delight, meaning to experience great pleasure or joy in His presence. His presence. That's where the joy comes from. Jesus said, He did my joy and joy before. How do you get full of joy in it? Joy of Jesus. He said, not only delight, He said, commit. Committing and trusting everything to His control and guidance. I want to fix that when He did that again. Trusting everything to His control and guidance. For life, our families, our jobs, everything about our bills, everything we have. Trusting that His guidance is His control. Trust God. It's not all we need is shed the same thoughts, still trust you, Lord. And that song is probably real easy to sing when she's on the mountaintop. But I'm telling you, you let that thing fall apart a lot better than I sing that song. I bet it'd be a little hard to sing. Not saying it's good, but I bet it'd be hard. When everything falls apart and God comes on the scene, that's when we really learn to trust Him. How do you trust Him? Because He loves you and He cares about you. That's why you trust Him, because there's one that will never leave you and will never forsake you. He'll always be right there with you. That's why you trust Him. Things that please God bring my presence to Him. Looking forward to this. Our giving pleases God, right? Our giving. Our time. Giving of our time pleases God. If we give time towards Bible study, towards prayer, towards church, coming to church, that pleases God. Our talents, when we do things for the Lord. I'll preach our talents now. And I've heard that so many times, preacher, I've said, yes, I understand that not everybody can sing. I can't sing, but I'm saying for some of these songs. But I can sing. And then let me tell you something. I don't sing for you, I can sing for the Lord.
Amen.
Because I love Him. Not everybody sings. Not everybody plays musicians. Not everybody can play any instrument. I realize that. I know that. But let me tell you something that everybody can do. Everybody has a talent. God, everybody can do something. Whether it's encouraging words, whether it's playing something, teach class, being able to understand things in the Bible. Everybody has talent. Everybody can pray. Everybody can pray. Your time, your talents. But still, we say, everybody likes this one. It's like the eyes and the offerings, your mind. Right? I even get fly out of church and shut all my people's money. Let me tell you something. That ain't yours, God. They say, well, I'm trying to get this back. I'm trying to do great things for my family. I've got to give my family things that I've done the same thing. We grew up and there's one back here behind my wife, one of the best people I know, right? We've known each other ever since we were adopted. We walked, and neither one of us had nothing in life. Everything we had comes from y'all sale. We didn't have choice. We didn't have choice. We didn't have nothing. We didn't know nothing about that. That's what we did. Remember the main family. They had money, they had everything. So we were going to play. We went on our way out. Play football. They had to come home. But it didn't happen. But let me tell you something, what we did have. We didn't have money, but we had love.
Amen.
We had love. Where did that love come from? Because I had a praying mom that took me to church.
Amen.
That's worth more than any kind of money. And a lot of times people become selfish in their money, they don't want to give. Let me tell you something. You do not know the blessings of God until you start giving what God will do for you. And I mean, praise you, talk about money. Let me tell you something.
I'm telling you. I'll say this and I'll be after money. If your money is not right with God, you're not right with God. That's Bible. God is looking for selfish people. Let me tell you something right now. People that want to be selfish with their money, they want to keep their money. It takes money to run the church. You've got to pay the bills. And not only that, I like to give to missions, people that's going on board of soul and that's doing the work of the gospel. They depend on that, and I want to give to that. And by the way, everything that I have is God's anyway. It's not mine. It's God's. That's why I want to give to Him, because He gives to me every single day. I'm off your money, $1,000, it's time to tell. What about your testimony? Your testimony that pleases God. I love and hear people brag on God. Now don't stand up, you don't brag on yourself and tell us what you've done for God.
Right.
I want to hear what God's done for you.
Amen.
I want somebody to brag on God. Now if you mean all that, go out to the parking lot, somebody platform or something, I'm sure, or animal or something. But we're here to brag on God.
Amen.
That's what pleases God. What we testify. Give our testimony of what God has done for us in our life. Preacher, I don't even know what to testify. Tell us what God's done for you. I don't know what my testimony is. He woke you up this morning. He got you to church. You had gas to be here. You're in the house of God this morning. That's a testimony.
Amen.
If we could all be in the hospital, in jail, or what we deserve. Faith pleases God. Praying pleases. That's how we make prayer for this time. Let me give you another. Proclaim. I'm reading some verses now. Psalms 145. It's Psalm of David. It's very good. Proclaiming. David loves to talk about God. Look what it is. This is a precious psalm right here. It's not that long. I will extol thee, my God, O King. And that means to magnify God. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Boy, David, he's on the road right here. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is his first. That's just how good God is. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Brother Aaron, God tells us to stay right there. He said, this is so. He said, we need to pass the same old man. Keep going. That's why it's important to let youth get involved in the services, to let some of them, a lot of times, we'll send them out to let our youth take up the offering and things like that. We have classes for youth on Wednesday nights for smaller kids, and I'd love to see it grow and do great things. We've got to pass this old thing down. Let me say this too. I think it's important for everybody to be in the sanctuary. I like that.
Amen.
Some people say, what's the five? Whatever. I'm going to make that sanctuary five. Oh, well, they're just reading a book. You don't know what God's going to do.
That's right.
They might be playing with trucks. You don't know what God's going to do. I'd rather have them in here playing with trucks now. Watch up there on TV. We've got to pass this thing on down. Tell them that. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. I will speak of the glory of God and of the majesty and of thy wondrous works. They shall proclaim them, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Boy, that's just God's attribute right there. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. She's still proclaiming them. To make known the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord holdeth all the thoughts, and raises up all those that be bowed down. Hallelujah to God right there. Listen to that one more time. The Lord is holy all the thoughts and raises up all those that be bowed down.
Amen.
The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them the meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. That call upon him in the spirit, call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, and he will hear their cry, and he will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. 146 Psalm right there. David talked in that song, proclaiming Him. What did he say right there? Let me break it down into three words. David said, every morning, every day, proclaim God for everything.
Amen.
Everyone, every day, for everything. That's what God does. All His works. He gives us all His love.
Everything that God does for us. That's why David said, I'm going to proclaim it. He already talked about that Psalm 145. He was proclaiming the name because he's been saved. God's been here. God's provided for him. God was always there for him. It wasn't like these times where everybody else is like we made for people being alive and not alive. It's definitely just like that. Oh, I'll be there with you always to the end. Only Jesus will do that.
Amen.
You know, that's a promise that even your spouse can make. I'll be with you even to the end. You don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus will be with you always. By praising, by praying, by proclaiming. Last one, by prioritizing. Matthew chapter number 6. Here we go. Matthew chapter number 6. He said in verse number 33. Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, there's a condition in prayer too. It's to seek Him first. And all these things. So you know what all these things are going to do. This is back at verse 31. Therefore, make no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Then the Bible says, for after all these things, the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek the first kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What's going to be added to you? You have food to eat. That means not the very best of your faith. He said, He'll provide food. And I said in one place, if we would put as much emphasis on spiritual needs as we do physical needs, they would be close to God.
Amen.
That's what it means. We eat our drink, it says we'll be close. A lot of times we don't worry about being close, but God told me He's going to close me. God told me about our affairs and outfits I need down in prayer. He's going to make sure that they see me and stay close before I get any close. You know what God's talking about holding me in? Humility and
holiness.
That's what leads us to when our priorities are right. So I ask you, what's important to you today? What's first place in your life? Is it people, objects, goals, desires? They all compete for priorities in our hearts. All these things we do. There's nothing wrong with you having goals. Not one thing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you furthering your education. There's nothing wrong with you having a desire. The Bible says, you don't talk about that in the line of the Lord. You don't need the desire of your heart. You don't want the desire of God when you need your heart. That doesn't mean you're going to walk out there in your mailbox and you have a bunch of spring nuts going to be a million dollars. It could happen. 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 Your desire. Your desire he's talking about is to know Him, to walk with Him, to love Him the right way. That's what he's talking about. That's what our desire should be. And when you line up with his desire for the Aaron, he'll make all those come true.
Amen.
Are you following? What's important to you? It shows. Let me tell you something. What shows? The things you talk about is what's important to you. The things you talk about. Well, that's like you talk about church all the time. It's important to you. You talk about God all the time. It's important to you.
Amen.
You don't have enough to talk about your kids. That's what's important to you. But let me tell you something, and I'm not knocking it. We've all seen it this week. A great NBA basketball player died. Right? Everybody knows that. Everybody said, you can't put on nothing without seeing it.
Yeah.
Right? And my heart breaks for his wife and for his kids.
Yeah.
Right? Still here. He was a human being. He was a man. I don't know much about the man, to be honest, just from what was on TV. And I really didn't watch basketball much, so I didn't ever pay attention to it. I don't know what kind of person he was. Y'all know if he's saved, that's between him and God.
Right.
He's saved, right? But is it not unbelievable the people that have gathered and have shed tears for Him?
Amen.
Can you imagine what God would do with Los Angeles if they shed tears like that over their sins? There's no telling what God would do with Los Angeles. What about just around here? You see it, people share everything, they share all sorts of things. What if people search the scriptures like they search Facebook to find some story? Can you imagine how God would move right there? How we'd be closer to God. You see what it is? That story of Him is their problem. But let me tell you something. He might have been one of the best moral people in this world. I don't know if he was or not. But I'll tell you one thing he did not do. He didn't die for anybody's sins. Not his wife, not his kids, not his team, nor none of us. He died for us. He died. And he went to go meet God. And I hope he was saved. Ain't nothing I can do about it if he wasn't. There ain't no praying for him once they die. You ain't come together and have a goal. Let's pray for him. Let's pray him in heaven. It's not possible to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. When we leave here, we're going to meet him up there. And it will be God can have one more chance. Well, God, if you keep me, nobody gets in the house to go to church. Your salvation depends individually on you. Well, God, the life is going to do anything with us, but it shouldn't be one. God is going to hold you a little for your actions and your behaviors. And that's beautiful, right? God is going to hold me accountable. He don't hold me accountable when I pray that I'm holding me. God is going to hold me accountable. He don't do that.
Amen.
But I'll tell you this. What if you receive what God gives me, He's not going to hold me accountable. He's not going to hold me. That's on you. Prioritizing Him. Keeping Him first in your life. Her man said one day, if you give God first commission to any day, He'll take care of the rest of your day. Let me tell you this, you finally. If you give God the first part of your fruit, He'll take care of the rest of your fruits.
Amen.
Giving God His first. Give God the first day of the week, He'll take care of the rest of your day of the week. Letting God be first. Letting God be first. What reason do you have? What do you have in your heart this morning that you may answer? What do you need God to do for you? Let me ask you this right here. Remember when we just talked, just a few minutes, and I'm done. Let's wrap it up with a question for you, please, man. Let me ask you this. We talked about collectively praising Him and asking the whole church to come together praising God. What have you done? What have you done? What have you said that have attracted people to our church? Remember what it's saying to you in the community? Stores, and stores, your jobs, Walmart, and groceries, maybe down at Macbook, and gas. What have you done to attract people? And let me tell you something. I don't want nobody to be attracted to this church. I want them to be attracted to the Jesus.
Amen.
I want people to get help in our church. It's not about having a repute. I was having a repute meal that time. I'd rather have 20 that love the Lord than have 2,000 that don't care about it.
Amen.
Give me the 20. But you know what? That 20 is right there. We'll have power.
Amen.
Have power. What do you need God to do for you today? What's going on in your life? Only God can answer. He's your hope this morning. Preacher, I need you to help me this morning. Only thing I can do for you, I'm not going to use some scriptures and I'm not going to pray for you as far as I go with you this morning. You're going to have to let God, you're going to have to invite God into your situation, in your trouble, into what's going on in your life. You've got to invite God into what's going on. Let's stand together. Maybe you need to pray. Let's pray. What are you going to ask God for today? I've been trying to please Him. I want Him to be the priority over my life. It's up to you whether you allow it to happen or not. You decide what is first place in your life. What is first place in your life? Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? Maybe you're having trouble for finding. Maybe you want to tell people about the Lord Jesus. And you don't know how to do it. Come and ask God to serve the wisdom of God that He gives out the wisdom and change that one. Let Him ask God. What do you need this for? Preacher, I just got a whole lot going on. God knows what you got going on. God knows. Well, preacher, what I need to tell
knows what the Lord. He's waiting to answer your prayers when you come and talk to him about it. Maybe God won't show you some things.
But he needs you to move.
I love my preacher, as God said. He helped me so much today. He said, we take one step toward God. God said, he said, how good God is.
What do you need from God this morning? Would you just come talk to him? Maybe you need some help on how to talk to somebody about being saved. God might already be working in their heart. You don't even know it.
We talked about
our time. When you spend your time wisely, the best thing you can do is your time.
Whatever you need this morning,
we just want you to talk to the Lord about it. Maybe you want to pray for your kids. Maybe mom and dad need prayer.
Maybe grandma's grandpa, maybe aunt's uncle need prayer this morning. Would you come pray for them? If God lays somebody in front of you this morning, would you lay in somebody in front of you? Would you pray for them this morning? I hope you pray for them. But then I'm going to tell you something. If God was waiting, my faith in front of somebody else, I sure wouldn't pray for anything. We don't always know what we need. You might say, preacher, I'd like to pray, but I really don't know what to pray for. Would you just come together and offer Romans chapter 8 and then Jesus is our intercessor? He knows what we need. Sometimes praying is not a problem. Sometimes it's just fear, just like that. It's fear. Remember, make our faith with moving us. Nothing's coming out of us. God can hear your prayers. The Bible says, hear them. When I hear, I say, let me be done.
Verse 1. The Lord knows. Would you just come talk to him this morning? Tell him what you need. Preacher, I really don't know too much to pray for. Everything's going good in my life.
The last time you just thank him. Everything's going good in my life.
Boots in the shed, clothes are on the back, bills are paid up, the car is full of debt.
You're a good God today.
Because you don't know what you're going to do next week when it comes to being.
Every time,
I'll preach it for them. God is the one that destroys everything that you got. And he loves you today. Here's what do you need?